Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along on Wake Up Call here on a Wednesday midweek. Still good, bad, and dumb. What's the good of the day?
Well, you know, it wasn't really good for Texas, I guess not last week, the week before. With a winter storm.
Yeah, with the winter storm,
kind of gripped the entire city, put us in a state of emergency. But there are some stories that are popping out, and this one is a good one because it shows that there is still a code of honor.
Okay.
When in line for Whataburger.
Oh, right. Okay.
So the way the story goes, in a TikTok, or a person filmed it and put it on TikTok, you see this red car trying to push its way through the line, skipping ahead of everyone.
In the drive-thru?
In the drive-thru. And the line's long because, let's face it, there is no power. Only a few places were open. I do remember this firsthand, that there was only a few places open. In fact, all the fast food joints around our house were completely closed because they did not have power.
That seems like a bold move to make in drive-thru. In all
yes.
the drive-thrus I've ever gone through, I've never seen anybody try to cut with a car.
Well, usually at most Whataburgers, they split you up into two lines.
Yeah, like most, like McDonald's and Burger King's doing that now.
You can order from two, but then you're in two lines going in as well. Instead of, you know how they usually have you order from two drive-thrus and then you can merge into one lane?
Yeah.
The Whataburger employees will bring the food out to you.
Okay.
If you're in the second line, because they keep you in that line to hopefully keep everything moving.
So they're still trying to cut before they order.
They're still trying to cut, yes.
All right. So how they get their food,
they didn't.
You don't want somebody else's order.
They didn't. Whataburger employees refused to serve them.
So they saw the cutting in line and said, that's enough. Get out of here.
Yep.
Good for them.
Yeah.
It's like a Disney World. If you cut in a line, they go, get out.
Yep.
Yeah.
They expel you from the park.
Mm-hmm.
I got kicked out of a land once in Disneyland.
Did you really? Good
yeah.
for you. That's a little badge of honor you can wear for the rest of your life.
And then it dawned on us a couple hours later that how are they going to know?
So I'm curious. How did the car just creep in, like try to get, you know, like when you're trying to merge in traffic?
Yeah, because the video doesn't come in all the way. You know, everyone was calling the number out, but I mean, I guess did it like try to skip in front of everyone to steal the food? Did the car never ordered? I didn't. That's the only part of the video.
Oh, it was
I didn't
trying
see.
To steal. It was trying to steal food.
I don't know if it was trying to steal food or maybe their sound machine wasn't working. They were doing orders.
Well, good for Whataburger for noticing this thing. But
yeah, they refused to go to that window and then or to that car, and then eventually the car just left.
It's amazing to me that the people were. On top of this, sometimes like you go, hey, what's that Joe Pesci line? They screw you at the drive-thru?
Yep.
Right? I mean, in Lethal Weapon, it's good for them to be paying attention not only to the orders that they were processing, but hey, that red car, they never got in line.
I mean, everyone was pointing that red car out. Eventually, the red car was just, you know, eventually the Whataburger's employees said, you know, we're not going to serve you. Get back in
good,
line.
Good
and
for them.
They left. So,
good
yeah, there's still, even during a state of emergency, there's still an honor code that should be respected.
People. Of course.
Remember that.
Absolutely. All right, so what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, this might be a little personal for me.
Okay.
You know, being the Dodger fan that I am.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is bad for everybody else. This is probably good for everybody else, but this is bad for me. That Slam Diego is already in midseason form. And what, we're like a game or two into spring training?
Are you talking about the Fernando Tatis bat flip?
Yes.
Yeah, it's already in play.
And the 441-foot grand slam bomb that he launched into the stratosphere.
They're coming. The Padres are coming.
Yeah, don't you? Doesn't he realize that he got the big payday, so he doesn't have to play that hard anymore? Because that's normally what happens, right? You get the big payday, you don't play as much.
Yeah, that's
usually
always
the MO.
That's always the conversation starter, right? Like, now that you've got your money, it's a lot less stress when you wake up in a batting slump. Like, well, there's nothing either one of us can do about it.
We've seen it all the time,
right.
And he's not playing by the rules, Tony.
Man, oh man.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
I mean, at least with this one, it was still early in the game. What, second inning, I think? And, I think it was the second inning because they had a five-run second inning. And, Fernando Tatis came up to the plate with the bases loaded and just blasted one right out of there. And,
not bad.
And it was a subtle bat flip, but still, nonetheless, a bat flip in spring training.
Not to get you off this, but speaking of spring training, did you see the Reds? I think it was the Red Sox Tampa Bay game where the Red Sox, you can just quit now in the middle of the inning. If your pitcher goes over a certain number of pitches, you can just, that's it. It's like a mercy inning that's happening now. Yeah, a manager can just go, yeah, that's it. He's thrown like 20 pitches this inning. So let's just go. Yeah, I was blown away by it. It was like a bit of news
Are they bringing in some like rec league, little league rules? Like,
yeah, they
score 5 runs, that's the end of the inning.
It feels like to me, like a lot of these spring training games are going like 6 innings, 7 innings. They're tied, like they're not playing extra game. A lot of it is just let's get this over with and whatnot. But I feel like you just gave an inch because of COVID. Now you're just taking a lot.
Yeah.
Right. And now it's just like, you know, hey, our spring training games are just going to be whenever we feel like stopping, which is more sooner than later. So here you go.
Was Tony Burton on the sidelines just going, throw the damn towel?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Tony La Russa is still the manager of the White Sox.
Yep.
By the way, the White Sox are supposed to be good this year. So,
which, by the way, when is your truck happening?
I know.
I thought you got to walk.
Well, I did dislocate my knee, so I've got a long way to go during rehab.
Yeah, that might
my way up to Chicago.
Maybe that'll help your rehab.
It could be. Especially my physical therapist. You know, it would be great if you walked to Chicago. Like, oh, exactly. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah, kind of made a promise.
Right. Tony, what a dumb thing I did.
I should have known better. Strap a Comrex unit to your back and a set of headphones and put you on your way.
I should have known better at the time. Instead of trusting the process like I did, I should have known that guy was going to get rehired. Yeah, what do we have a young team that's emerging as a contender. Who could we get to manage? How about a guy who hasn't managed forever and last managed this team when Carter was president?
Does that make any sense to you, by the way? I mean, now when you look at it, because when they first made that move, the White Sox didn't go shopping.
Right.
Hey. They made that move, hiring Tony La Russa, and then the White Sox said, you know what? Yeah, let's go try to be contenders. Let's go
be contenders. Now they got La Russa. Let's go be contenders.
Yeah.
That made all the
sense in the world.
Let's see how he does. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day might be the most Australian story we've heard in a long time. Two blokes, if you will. Two guys were drinking beers on an inflatable mattress.
By the way, not Foster's, as we know. They don't drink Foster's.
Okay. Not sure what they were drinking, but they had an inflatable mattress, decided to pump it up, take it down to the ocean, and bring a cooler with them and drink some beers as they floated away and kept floating and later had to be rescued 2 miles off the coast of Australia.
Of course.
On an inflatable mattress, which we all know is surrounded by sharks.
Yeah, of course. Like, first of all, even if there were no sharks, 2 miles is like the Ironman triathlon swim distance.
I think,
like, you ain't going to make it back to shore.
Yeah, I think you can still see the coast from there, but I'm not 100% sure.
No, you're in big trouble. Listen, my heart rate would go through the roof. I would think I'm dead. They're not coming to get me. How did they tell? Did they call or did somebody notice them?
No, they had their phones and they called for an Uber to come pick them up.
Oh, yeah.
And they only really started panicking because they were running out of beer.
Do you get lectured if you get pulled from the ocean in that scenario? Does the authorities go, hey, look, guys, listen, we got you. I'm glad you're safe. But that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen anybody do. Don't ever do it again, you knuckleheads.
Or is it Australia? And they go, let's go pick up Bob and Larry again.
It's a Tuesday. Yeah. Let's go get them.
Exactly. Yeah, their only comment really was like, they have zero regrets about it. And they said, next time we'll just check the wind a little bit better.
Yeah, man.
The wind forecast.
Yeah. See, I'm not a big ocean person, like swimming in the ocean. I don't mind sitting on the beach staring at the waves. I think it's beautiful. I'm not a big swim in the ocean kind of guy. I mean, I heard like you'd hear these
stories. Just because you can't see that far away from everyone.
No, I don't really dig salt water all that much, but I hear all these stories of like, yeah, then he was just swept out to sea by the undertow. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know why that happens. I don't know when that happens. I don't want it to happen. So no, thank you. I'm not. And the ocean is a big, scary place. I don't want to be out there by myself.
Yeah. No, I get that.
But don't get me wrong. I love the beach. I love staring at it. I love, you know, when we go down to Florida, my wife's family, I love going to St. Pete Beach. I think it's beautiful. But
put your toes in the water.
I'll put my toes in the water. But it's like when I see people way out there swimming and going crazy, waving and surfing and doing all that stuff, I get a little nervous. I go, I don't think that's me. I don't think that's for me. I don't know.
Well, next time, just get yourself an air mattress.
If I got an air mattress, yeah, exactly.
You know, you can just stay on top of that air mattress. It's a pretty big size, too. I mean, they literally look like a queen-size air mattress that they were floating on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I do love the beauty of the ocean. Don't get me wrong. I do think it's fantastic.
Do you like it 2 miles out from sea on an
air
mattress?
But not 2 miles out to sea, man. Like, not 2 miles out to sea.
I just love the fact that they finally made the call, like, we're out of beer. Let's make the call.
Am I the only one, like, that movie Castaway, when he's out there in the middle of the night on the raft and the whale pops up, was like, people thought that was sort of a level of beauty. I was petrified. Like, I thought that was the scariest thing in the world. A whale just popped up next to his raft and looked at him with that big eye.
At that moment, it's barely a raft, too.
Yeah, that's true. He's holding on. He's in the middle of the ocean holding on.
Yeah, he's, like, floating on that plank of wood that Rose kicked Jack off of.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Rose was like, there's no room. Yep. No, there is. If you just move over,
you just scoot over just a little bit, Rose.
It'll save both of us. No, yeah. I can't. There's nothing we can do, Jack. No, there is. So.
But then, you know, I mean, if Jack did survive, she probably wouldn't have lived the life she lived. Remember, she went on the adventure, became a pilot, rode horseback on
beaches.
That's right.
Married another man.
Yep.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. So, all right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb.
And that's us breaking down Titanic, too, kids.
That's right. This is what you get on this program. All right, we've got Emery Hunt coming up. We say good friend of the program because Ron and I were talking about this yesterday. Ron, you kind of got him started on this trajectory of popularity.
I'm thinking I'm the one who brought him
to
this network.
You kind of did. Look, you kind of did.
I'm not going to say.
Now he's on all over the place, but years ago, you found him.
I'm not going to say I'm the source of his success. But I know that I'm almost 100% sure I was the first one to bring him on this network.
Right. Exactly. And now we bring him on all the time.
He's all over this network. And now he's off doing all this other stuff. I mean,
he's everywhere.
He just started this little website called footballgameplan.com.
Which is great.
Yes. And you know, where he was analyzing college football players, NFL players, and primarily running backs. And it kind of just took off on him.
Great website. He's got good mind for the NFL, and there's a lot of NFL issues, so we're going to have him coming up in about 16 minutes. But coming up next, Baylor won the Big 12 regular season title first time since 1950. But you don't have to go back that far to remember a time where that total program was a mess, and a real mess. We'll talk about that next on Wake Up Call.